Now, I'm going to ask you one last question,
sure.
John Michael Greer. You are an archdruid.
Yes.
This book is not a mystical book,
this
I'd
book
say,
is not a mystical book.
By any stretch of the imagination. Mm-hmm. It critiques very kind of maybe mystical ideas that most Americans or most people in industrial nations have, mm-hmm. of, you know, progress, the upward march, ever upward march of technology,
mm-hmm.
or that, you know, somehow something's going to save us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
extraterrestrials.
A fleet of pink unicorns are going to arrive from Alpha Centauri, providing us with the secret of world peace and, you know, an infinite energy source and all that, what have you. That's becoming a common joke in the peak oil scene, talking about the pink unicorns, because there's a lot of people waiting for pink unicorns to show up these days.
That's right. Mm-hmm. So how did you come to become an archdruid, and what is the connection between is it a religious faith and this kind of ideas?
Well, mm-hmm. basically, just the very short version of a very long story is that I was raised in a non-religious family, dabbled in a lot of things in my youth. I actually ended up writing some books about them, but ended up being drawn to the Druid tradition, which is kind of in that space between a religion and a philosophy and a practical system of spiritual development. Difficult to define within some of the categories we use nowadays. It's a religion, but it doesn't have dogma. It's a philosophy, but it actually applies to the real life, this kind of stuff. But the important thing is that modern druidry centers on nature. I should say modern, because the ancient druids, the ancient Celtic priests of the Celtic peoples, as far as we know, that druidry went extinct 1,000 years ago. And the modern druid movement emerged in the 18th century, partly as a reaction against the Industrial Revolution. But so druidry centers, as it exists today, centers on nature. It's a nature spirituality. And it sees to the extent that one could speak in simple terms about a fairly complex and diverse movement, it sees our salvation as human beings as being found through a kind of harmony, through a greater harmony with the cycles and processes of nature. This is the reason we celebrate, you know, the stations of the year wheel. The cycle of the year, the rising and falling of seasons, the movement of the stars and the sun, the setting and fall of leaves, and all this kind of stuff. These are expressions of the holy to us. And, you know, it's not that there are aspects of it that are mystical in a certain sense. There are certainly mystical practices. There are ways of attuning with spiritual essences within nature. But it's not the kind of thing that builds or feeds the belief that human beings are special and that the universe will bend over backwards to give us what we want. Now, a while back, because I've had a long-time interest in alternative tech, a long-time interest in organic gardening. I have an organic garden, and many things of that nature. I had been interested also from back in my teen years in the 70s, was interested in the prospects for depletion of fossil fuels, all this kind of stuff, got involved in the peak oil movement when it dusted itself off in the late 1990s. And a few years ago, I started a blog, The Archdruid Report is the title, which I intended to talk about these things within the Druid community. I figured it'd get maybe 15 readers, you know, ever. I was kind of startled by the results, which was, it became rather a minor internet phenomenon, and got me book contracts out of the blue. It got me a great deal more attention than I was expecting to get, and a rather extended readership in multiple languages. And so, to some extent, I'm still not exactly sure why, you know, somebody like myself, who is a member of what we can call a minority faith, and a faith that most people in the industrial world don't necessarily take seriously, why, you know, people are reading books like my book, The Long Descent, The Ecotechnic Future, and so on, and going, wow, okay, well, I guess, you know, it may be written by an archdruid, but it's not completely nuts or something like that. I'm not sure how that works.
Well, you talk in the book about, you know, the possibility of a religion maybe being necessary, mm-hmm. to create this kind of consciousness. You assiduously stay away from talking about Druidism, mm-hmm. as that religion, and I respect you for that.
Mm-hmm.
But you do talk about the idea of ikasafi, which doesn't have to be religious, but
it doesn't have to be religious.
What
but
is that?
It probably will be, as the way human beings are. I mean, we are not well motivated by abstract ideas. We are motivated by charged emotional symbols. You know, the image of a guy nailed to a cross has caused more social change, for good or ill, than any number of philosophical concepts. And so, you know, I think I would be the first person to fall over in a dead faint if Druidry were to evolve into, you know, the big ecological religion of the next cycle of history. It is a minority faith. It is a small, diverse, not at all centralized, not particularly well organized sort of tradition that, you know, it's just scattered all over the place. There are not a lot of us. On the other hand, if nobody else steps up to the plate, we might end up doing that by default. But, you know, it's impossible to tell at this point. But ecosophy is crucial. We've got ecotechnics, or we're beginning to evolve the first drafts of ecotechnics. Things like organic gardening, like permaculture, like appropriate technology, alternative energy, all this kind of stuff, are the kind of first very rough sketches of ecotechnics. We've got ecology. Scientific ecology is in very good shape. We know a lot about how ecosystems come together. So we need to take that third step and start saying, okay, how does this apply to the big picture of human beings? How does it apply to our hopes and our dreams? How does it apply to our idea of what a good society is? What does it have to teach us about our place in the cosmos? And when we apply ecology, we apply environmental, the realities of the environment to these things, we have to redefine, a lot of the things that many people take for granted, like progress, like the idea that we can have infinite economic growth on a finite planet. Like the idea that we're special and the universe, you know, loves us better than, say, earthworms. I'm sure earthworms think the same thing, you know. Whoever earthworms worship, they talk about how obviously they created all the soil for us to burrow through. And I mean, there are other beings up there. These things walk across on the surface, but they're much less important than we are. So I think we need ecosophy. I think it's something that we could run away from. It's something we could hide from and try to avoid, but maybe we would live better and happier lives if we actually started paying attention to the lessons that nature is trying to teach us before those lessons get driven in with a 2x4.